I want to draw your attention to Psalm 100. It's a very short psalm, one of the shortest, as a matter of fact. Only five verses. Let's read from verse 1. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Now this morning we are celebrating the faithfulness of God to Luverod School, particularly over the last couple of years. Years we can describe as being difficult and hard, among other things. And we are going to do so by studying the second half of a psalm that has been known to the church over the ages as the Old Hundredth. That's what it is called in church circles, the Old Hundredth. Like all psalms, it is a song, and it is a song with four stanzas, or if you like, four divisions. And through these stanzas, which were sung with gladness, the creating power of God and the goodness of God are acknowledged. This morning, I wish to draw your attention primarily to the third and fourth stanzas, which are expressed in two verses, namely verse 4 and 5. Let me read them to us again. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Stanza 3 says, enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. And stanza 4 says, for the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting, and his faithfulness to all generations. The two stanzas go together and they open up two basic points, namely the exhortation to give thanks and the reason for giving thanks to God. This is basically what I want to share with us this morning. And we begin with the exhortation to give thanks. The psalmist prods, or if you like, incites the people of God to worship by saying to them, enter his gates with thanksgiving. Enter his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. And as we think about that exhortation, I want us to answer four questions four questions that will help us open up this exhortation to thanksgiving. First, what is it to give thanks? What is it to give thanks? The word translated thanksgiving can refer to a public acknowledgement or celebration of divine goodness. A public acknowledgement or celebration of divine goodness. And as used in this text, it is an act of worship. It is therefore directed to God. Now we can give thanks to other people. That's not necessarily an act of worship. But as used in this text, it's thanksgiving addressed to God. It is therefore an act of worship. It's not just an act of worship, it is an act of worship expressed in the public assembly, in the public gathering of the people of God. Instead of merely praising Him at home, we can give thanks to God at home, we can give thanks to God as we walk privately along the streets. That is thanksgiving, but that is not the thanksgiving that is in focus here. The thanksgiving that is in focus here is public in nature. An acknowledgement or celebration of divine goodness that is expressed publicly. Secondly, who is exhorted to give thanks? Who is exhorted to give thanks? You will note here in this passage that the Lord is addressing all lands. We have to pick that from verse 1. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. All you lands. And this is a reference to all mankind and to all nations. But in a special way, it is a reference to all His people. All His people. Know that the Lord, He is good. It is He who made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Everyone is exhorted to give thanks because everyone has a reason for giving thanks, as we shall be emphasizing in a moment. Third question, how is giving thanks expressed? How is it expressed? When He calls them to give thanks, how exactly were they to give thanks? When we are called to give thanks today, how should we do it? How are we expected to be doing it? Well, notice first of all that it is expressed in song. In song. This is what the psalmist is doing here in Psalm 100. Like every other psalm, he sings and he calls others to join him in singing thanks to God. We can also enter His gates with thanksgiving by singing joyful worship hymns. Hymns such as "To God Be the Glory, Great Things He Hath Done." When we sing a hymn like that, we give thanks, we praise. When we say, "Praise my soul, the King of Heaven," We praise Him for who He is. We praise Him for what He has done. We give thanks in song. Secondly, it can be expressed in prayer. John Calvin, when he wrote about prayer, he didn't just include what we do when we speak to God, he also included what we do when we sing. Both are prayer. But this prayer is that which we do when we speak to Him. We can lift aloud our voices and cry as the psalmist does in Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not His benefits, who forgives all your iniquities. And on he goes. He's doing it in prayer. He's praising in prayer. We can also give thanks by offering sacrifice. In Psalm 116 and verse 17, the psalmist says he will bring a sacrifice of thanksgiving. And Psalm 116 is a song of thanksgiving from one whose prayer for help has been answered. He'd been talking to the Lord. He'd been praying. He'd been asking for the Lord's help, for the Lord's blessing. And the Lord has answered. And He responds to that answer to prayer by bringing an offering of thanksgiving. Giving. And he thanks the Lord for deliverance. Deliverance from a profoundly distressing and life-threatening predicament. He praises, he thanks God for His goodness. And he says he will bring an offering of sacrifice to Him. As a consequence. The next question is where this thanksgiving is expressed. And it must be expressed in what he refers to as His gates and His courts. Note that in verse 4. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts. With praise. That term, gates, it means an opening or an entrance to the space inside. And in the Old Testament, particularly when you read about gates, it is a reference to a space. Inside, that space could be a city or a town. So to say enter His gates is basically to say enter a city or enter a town. And God's presence here is figuratively being referred to as His gates, as His courts. That word courts, it literally means an enclosure. So it's a space that is enclosed and gated. To enter there, you must go through the opening, the gate, and God Himself must open that gate. For you. And if you are the people of God, you already have been given the right and the ability to enter that gate. And you have the right when you become a child of God, when you become a Christian, when you are forgiven of sin, when you are given the right to be called by the name of God, you are given the right. And so he can invite you to enter his gates. And you enter those gates with thanksgiving. Which brings us to our second point, the reason for giving thanks. We've noted the exhortation. All of us are called, we are encouraged, we are exhorted to give thanks. But we must now note the reason for thanksgiving. And the psalmist supplies three reasons for thanksgiving. Notice the word for in verse 5. That word for means the reason, the basis, the foundation of the thanksgiving. And there are three reasons. The first is that the Lord is good. We are going to work through that in a moment. The second is that his mercy is everlasting. And the third is that his truth endures to all generation. Let's look at the first reason. The Lord is good. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. Verse 5, for the Lord is good. What is it for the Lord to be good? It is to say that he expresses the idea of the ideal. He is the ideal. He is perfect in his being. Matthew 5 verse 48 says, God is perfect. That is to say, he is not bad. He is a pleasant being. He is holy. And he is giving. God could have been justified if he decided not to create anything. If he decided to be the only being in the universe, he would have been justified. He would have been justified if he had decided not to create you, not to bring you into being. But he decided to create. He decided to bring about the heavens and the earth, and he decided to bring you about. He made us. He brought us about. And he shares with us what else he has created in the universe. He is giving. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. But he shares that earth and its fullness with you. He shares himself with you. God is perfect. He is the richest being in the universe. And he has shared himself. He has shared his goodness. He has shared his wealth with you. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 35 through to 36, we're told that he shows mercy to all men. He causes his sun to shine upon all men. He causes his rain to fall upon all men. He causes his ground to yield fruit, to give us food. He is giving. He has also given us His only begotten Son to be the propitiation for our sins. All have sinned, the Bible says, and have fallen short of the glory of God. And to all who have sinned, He has given His Son. John 3:16 says, He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He has given the most precious of His gifts to men. He shows His long-suffering to erring men, even. We all deserve to be punished for sins we commit. And God so often postpones our punishments. God so often treats us not as our sins deserve. He is good. That's the point we are making. And for that reason, we must give Him thanks. He is not only good, His mercy is everlasting. And mercy is favor He shows to men who are not only sinful, but are also suffering from the consequences of sin. There is no man living who suffers because they didn't deserve it. We are all sinful. And whatever discomforts we suffer, we deserve to suffer them. We don't deserve any good. We deserve what we go through because we are sinners and we live in a sinful world. But God, in His mercy, so often reaches out to us to extend His favor and blessing upon us in order to alleviate that suffering and that hardship. And that is mercy. And that mercy is everlasting. And furthermore, His truth endures to all generations. That could also be translated as His faithfulness endures to all generations. Whatever promises God has made, He will stand by them. He will fulfill them to all generations. And for all these reasons, we must thank Him. I want to conclude with a number of practical points in regard to thankfulness. The first being that if we would be thankful to God, we must have a well-founded reason for thanking Him. And this is the point of this psalm. It calls us to thank God, but it also gives us reasons for thanking Him. We can't thank God if we have no reasons for doing so. So many of us live through life without being thankful because we can't think of a reason to thank God. And yet, the psalmist suggests, doesn't he, that all lands, all mankind, all His people should must have a reason to thank him. We must thank him, and we didn't have time to work through this. We must thank him because he made us, and not we ourselves, according to verse 3. It is he who made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. The very fact that God created you, that God gave you life, that God sustains you, is reason for you to be thankful. And the fact that he is good. He extends all manner of benefits to you is reason to thank him. Now, we can easily think the idea that he created us and that he is good is obvious. And so we must all wake up feeling thankful every day. We must, but that is not what happens. Many of us don't think about the fact that God created us. And many of us don't think about the fact that God is good and that he does what is good to us every day. We don't think about that. And so we don't think about thanking him. We therefore need to engage in deliberate reflection. You need to take a moment every day to think about God and to think about what he has done for you. When you do that, your heart will be prompted to praise, to bless, to give thanks. Stands to reason, doesn't it, that when we don't praise, we don't give thanks, it's because we don't take a moment to read providence, to think about what God is doing for us. I wonder, do you ever take a moment to think, to reflect on providence? Do you have your quiet time? That moment when you can turn to the Bible and read it and meditate on it and think about what it is saying. That moment when you can stop and think about the daily run of life and how God has been carrying you through that. Do you take a moment to do that? If you do, I'm sure you are always prompted to thank God, to praise God, perhaps to pray to God. We must have a well-founded reason in order to be thankful. Secondly, we must be thankful to God for Luber Road School. This service has been about Luber Road School. Luber Road School is a gift. It has been a gift. There are many here, children, who through Luber Road have been influenced in all kinds of good ways. You must be thankful for that. And we must acknowledge that God has also revealed his goodness to Luber Road School, because Luber Road School has been through some difficult times. The COVID experience was a difficult time. It brought some hardships to bear, not just upon Luber Road School, but upon all of us, all of our lives. But I want you to see this. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28 says, God works all things for the good of those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. Yes, you've been through a bad time. And maybe as an individual, you're going through a bad time. But this God that you serve is good, we've been reminded. And if he is good, he is using even these bad times to do good for you. If you turn out badly, the fault is not God's. The fault is how you are responding to that. The fault is with you. The fault is with how you are looking at this situation. The fault is in how you are reading providence. The fault lies in the fact that you are not really waiting on this God to learn from him, to read his lessons, to be sanctified through the situation. Because it is true, isn't it, that he will always work to do good for you. And then finally, ultimately, there must be no room for bitterness toward God. No room. No room for bitterness when you are going through difficult times. No room for anger toward God when you are facing frowning providences. There must be no room for that. How can you be bitter toward a God who created you? And how can you be bitter toward a God who is good? How can you be bitter toward a God who works all things for the good of those who love him, who works good all the time for you? How can you be bitter toward him? To what end is that bitterness? No. This must always be the attitude. When we enter his gates, it must be with thanksgiving. When we enter his courts, it must be with praise. When we serve him, it doesn't matter what we do, it must be with thanksgiving. Can that be the description of your life? That you live it out with thanksgiving. Let me put it this way. If it is true that God has been good to you by giving you his son, by saving your soul from sin, by working in you to form you into the image of Christ, and by promising you a heaven, it's a promise, it will be given to you. If it is true that God has loved you in Christ Jesus, and that mercy he shows to you is everlasting, it's unchangeable, it will ever be, and that it will endure to all generations, nothing will change it. Nothing will remove it. If that is true, does it make sense for you to have a negative attitude toward God? Does it make sense that even now, you are not serving him with all your heart? You are not really thankful toward him. You don't acknowledge him. You live your life like he doesn't exist. Does it make sense? No, it doesn't. What makes sense is that you must be thankful in every situation. What makes sense is that whenever you enter his gates, whenever you enter his courts, you must be thankful. You must praise. You must bless. This morning, when you entered his gates, and this is a space where God manifests his presence, these are his courts. Did you enter with thanksgiving? Did you enter with praise? When we began worshiping, did you sing? Did you really sing? There are so many of us here, and there are many among us here who don't sing. You don't open your mouth. You don't open your heart. You don't sing. You are not thankful. And you need to ask yourself, is that how you should come to worship? Why do you come to worship when you are unwilling to sing and to pray and to bring your spiritual sacrifice? Here is the exhortation. And if you haven't been heeding this exhortation, I plead with you to change your attitude from today. And when you enter his gates and his courts next time round, do it with thanksgiving, with praise, and bless his name. Amen.